Turn to John chapter 5 today. John chapter 5, as we look at God's word. And if you're ready, you can stand in John chapter 5, verse 1 to number 9. Okay, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, all the way to verse number 9. This is the man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay? John 5, verse 1, the Bible reads for us, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 2. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years, verse 6. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Verse 8. Verse 9, let's read together. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there is no one in this room, Lord, that do not have a need. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for life. We thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, for all your provision so freely given to us because of your grace, because of your care, in your compassion. But Lord, in the midst of our lives, there may be certain things that is a burden, a load that we just cannot shake off. I do not know how, as the Holy Spirit will move, Lord, in the life of your people today, but I pray in John chapter 5 that we see the power, the grace of Christ present to help everyone, Lord, who have a need. I pray that you will speak to us and you will address that need in our hearts, that our lives might change for the better. Heavenly Father, I pray for every believer. I pray it will be a time of decision in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take control of the whole session now. We pray that the Word of God will be clearly expounded by you. And I pray, Lord, that we will hear what the Word of God has to say. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just for interest's sake, verse number 4, if you have an NIV or other versions of the Bible, it is excluded. And the reason why it's excluded, because some of the people who translated the originals into the NIV and all the other versions did not believe that God can do things supernaturally. They didn't believe that there was a stirring of the water, and you'll find that many of the so-called supernatural things are left out, the newer version. So just want to give you that for your Bible knowledge and why we stay with the King James Bible, okay? But by way of introduction, you're looking at the passage. We look at the pool and the people that was there, okay? The pool. The time was near some of the feasts. The Bible didn't specify which feast it was, but there were three feasts, all right? Or rather, there were about seven feasts of the Jews that they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus, being a faithful Jew, would go to the feast, okay? It was in Jerusalem. There's a place called Bethesda. At Bethesda, there was a pool where there were a lot of people with diseases and sicknesses were gathered. All right? These are the people, looking at verse number 3. These are people who are weak, impotent, weak, powerless. Okay? They can't do much for themselves, for their families, for anyone. Okay? Some of them were blind, cannot see. Some of them were halt. The word halt has the idea they cannot move around freely. They were crippled, they were lame. Okay, some of them were paralyzed, they just cannot walk. And some of them were withered. The word wither has to do with wasting, okay? If you don't use your muscle, some of us train to have six packs, okay? If you don't train, your six pack will become one pack and a big pack, okay? But you know, if you still don't keep on using your muscle, you actually get smaller and smaller. That's called atrophy, right? The muscles get smaller. So the idea of wasted due to disuse or due to disease. And they were all waiting for the stirring of the water because they were hoping to be healed. So everyone at the pool was hoping to be healed during those days. And then the Bible goes in verse number 5, and certain men was there which have been a sickness, a disease, 38 years. Now, you know what's interesting about that? This man was sick even before Jesus was born. Because at that time, Jesus was probably 31 years old. This man has been sick for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to remain in a certain condition. All right? At the moment you have a sickness, you will have to deal with it. This man had had the illness for 38 years. This man's sickness was not specified. No doubt it was incurable at that time. It came to a point that he was also helpless. He was among all the groups of people that were there. He not only had a disease problem, he didn't have anyone to help him. You would think that 38 years, someone would think of helping him, right? But no one was there to help him. What happens when you have sickness for a long time? What happens to you when you have sickness for a long time? Or what can happen to you when you have sickness for a long time? Anyone? If you're sick for a long time, what can happen to you? You can get weak, yeah, that's okay. So there's a physical, sorry? You can what? You can die, yes, you certainly can die, but thank God this guy is still alive. But what happens to you emotionally? What can happen to you? Sorry? You give up. You feel helpless. You get discouraged. You get disillusioned. You get disappointed. And every time you see someone getting in, you go, why can't that be me? And perhaps after 38 years of having an illness, he was giving up. Do you have a hopeless case in your life? Do you have something that you have tried, and you have tried, and you have tried, and you just cannot shake it off? And you may have been in that situation for a long time. Initially, when it was happening, you kind of was more on fire, but over time, you begin to realize you just can't shake it off. It's just there. And you go through life, you will continue, because life has to go on, right? But you always go through life with a limp. Something is on your heart. Something is heavy on you that you just cannot shake it off. You've tried, you cannot overcome it. I was wondering as I was preparing this, how many of us actually can identify with this person? Yeah, you can go through the normal course of life. Life still goes on, but there's this thing in your heart that you need God to deal with. In the next few weeks, as we look at our church, as we move to a new place, I believe God wants us to be healed. And I want to deal with it biblically, okay? There are many theories of healing out there, many of them not scriptural. I want to deal with it from the Bible perspective, what it means, okay? And then the Lord's question, let's look at what the Lord said. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie down there, okay, lie, and knew he had been there, now, a long time, in that case, in that condition. You know, once again, as you read the Bible, many times, sometimes we read the Bible, we kind of gloss over details. I used to preach that this guy has been there for 38 years. It's not true. Jesus said, this person has been in that condition, in that sickness for 38 years. In other words, he may not be there. He may have just been put there. He may have just put last week, 1 month, but this guy was in this condition, in that case, for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. And Jesus said to him, verse 6, would thou be made whole? I was thinking to myself, yeah. Why am I there in the first place, right? And why do you go to hospital? How many of you, if you have a chance, you don't go to hospital? Who wants to go to the hospital, right? No one wants to go to the hospital. My mom is very, I'd rather pay and eat good food and keep myself healthy rather than pay the doctor. I think it's good way of life, you know, eat good food, make sure you're healthy, so that you don't give your money to the doc. But Jesus came. It's interesting. Jesus asked this man, will thou be made whole? Would you think that's a silly question? I don't know about you, do you think that's a silly question for Jesus to ask this man who has been sick for 38 years, knowing he's been sick, knowing he's ready, he wants to get into the pool, to, do you want to get better? Yeah. And Gideon said, yeah.
No, no.
But it's like, why did Jesus ask the question? He asked, do you want to be complete? Like, the word whole means to be complete again, to be functional again, to be able to stand up and do your normal duties again without any hindrance. Do you want to be free from the burden of this sickness? Man, will you be made whole? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be perfect again? Do you want to be able to interact with your family and your friends and your neighbors, get a job, do well? Do you want the freedom from this burden in your life? Do you want it? The Lord Jesus asked this man, you know what Jesus Christ saw? He saw a man with no hope. He saw someone who was a hopeless case. To him was a hopeless case. It's interesting, the Lord singled him out of all the people that were there. Amen? Are you getting what the Lord Jesus is trying to do? Of all the people, the impotent, the weak, the blind, the halt, the people who are crippled, Jesus went straight for this guy. Do you want to be whole? The Lord knows when you have a need. The Lord knows when you have a need. And in the Bible, it's interesting. God reserves his healing for people in his sovereign will, he decides. Okay? May I say this? In this passage, the Lord is showing us that no matter what your case is, it is never a hopeless case. Amen? I don't care what you're going through in your life, it is never a hopeless case with God. It's never a hopeless case. To this man, it may be hopeless. To us, when we look at our situations with our limited strength, with our limited wisdom, we will think it's a hopeless case. But to the Lord, it's never a hopeless case. That's our God. That's our God. It may be a hopeless case, but we must realize with Christ, it's never a hopeless case. Matthew 19, verse 26, the Bible says, and Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Christians, we need to start putting faith in the Word of God once again. I'll touch on that later. How can I be whole again? I don't know what you're going through in your life. This might be something personal today. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you, I do. But no case is ever a hopeless case with God. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Our hope. Jesus is always a hope for us. How can we be whole again? How can I be helped out of my hopelessness in any situation? And I want us to think through this. There are two ways that God makes us whole. Number one, by changing situations. Number two, by changing you. In some situations, God is not going to change the situation. It is always easier for God to change the situation so that we don't have to participate. We just kind of sit back. Many Christians fall in the category, I'll just pray that God will change the situation. What if God wants to change you? And I can tell you, I have four children. The situations in life may not change, but I believe God wants to change my children to be able to face the situations. And God is not prepared to let his children stay the way they are without doing something to help them grow. And many times God puts situations in our life to test our resolve to follow him. Now recently I was just reading a lot of passages. Let's turn to the book of Judges. It's just something that I've learned and I want to share with you. Judges. Book of Judges. In verse number 2, I'll just touch on this, this is an additional one. But Judges chapter 2. And verse number 20. Judges chapter 2 and verse 20. I'll just go there. I'll quickly go into the three truths, okay? Judges chapter 2, verse 20. I just read, you follow along, and I want you to grasp the truth. And the angel of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, referring to the Lord Jesus, by the way, because that these people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. that through them, through the trials, through the enemies, I may test, I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. And therefore the Lord left the nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them unto the hand of Joshua. When I read that verse, I realized this. For every Christian, listen carefully, this is important. The promised land is an image of the Christian life. When Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land, Joshua conquered the entire nation of Israel. The promised land, yes? God was very clear. Joshua fulfilled totally the will of God. Then, God says, all right, now you have done your job, Joshua. I want you to divide the land, and every tribe is supposed to go and conquer that land, completely drive up the idols, completely drives up the altars that are there, destroy all the enemies. And in listen carefully, in your Christian life, God brings us into the Christian life. You say you're saved. You know what is your job after that? You are to go into every part of your Christian life, get rid of that pride, get rid of that selfishness, get rid of the pain in your heart that is caused by sin, get rid of every area, stubbornness, for example, laziness, personal thinking that dominates your life, and get rid, go in. And you know, after a while, Christians who become Christians, later on, they kind of, I'm good. I'm cool. I don't have to keep pressing on. You know, I'll just kind of cruise along. You know, God says, I'm going to leave your pride, your selfishness in your life and see whether you will follow my ways or not. Then I realized that in this man, he has been sick for 38 years. He's a Jew. He was at Bethesda. Do you know the meaning of Bethesda? How many of you know the meaning of Bethesda? It's called the House of Mercy. This man was at the House of Mercy. And yet he was still in a hopeless condition. Why? After we talk about it. Christians, God didn't call you to be a Christian so that you can continue the way you want to live. He wants you to conquer your pride. He wants to overcome your unforgiveness. He wants to get rid of those things that are slowing you down. And some of us, if we are really honest with ourselves, some of the relationship problems we have, some of the problems we have in our families, financial or whatever, is all because of selfishness or pride or whatever. And sometimes it may just be because of ignorance. So three truths from this passage. How do we get out of a situation? Number one, give thanks. You may have to switch or change the point, okay? Give thanks for the resources God has made available to you. That's the first thing you need to do. Let's look at first. Let's go back to John chapter 5 again. Number one, give thanks for the resources God has made available for you. The Bible teaches us in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. You have a pain? Give thanks. You have an illness? Give thanks. You have a relationship problem? Give thanks. You have a fractured leg, give thanks. You have an eye that cannot see, give thanks. But Brother Johnny, that's stupid. I can't see. How can I give thanks? God didn't ask you to give thanks for the blind eye. God asked you to give thanks to Him because He knows what's happening as you are having the blind eye. Can you see the difference? I may have a fractured ankle, but I can still thank God for my wife. I can still thank God for the medical care I'm receiving. Once we learn to give thanks, we take our eyes off ourselves and place it onto God. In everything, give thanks, for this is God. So by the way, every Christian must be a thankful Christian because it's the will of God. You don't have to pray about this. Should I give thanks? How can I give thanks? No, you just give thanks. Brother Johnny, I don't understand how I can give thanks. Well, just give thanks. Just obey God. The more you obey God, you'll understand later. But you know, give thanks. You know, sometimes in your pain, you may say, God, I'm thankful. I don't know what to thank God. I'm just thank you for who you are. You know, if you have nothing to thank for, just thank God for your salvation. that this is the pain, whatever you're going through, is going to be short term. Amen. Once you hit heaven's shores, you leave everything behind. You need to give thanks for everything. In verse 7, John 5, 7, the impotent, you know how, when Jesus asked this man the question, will you thou be made whole? He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He gave a reason. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. This man was stating a truth in his life. There was no one to help him. To him, there was no one to help him. He felt all alone. How many of you in your condition, you always feel that you're all alone? That's a normal human response. Who was standing in front of this man? The Son of God. Many people here today in this room have the Son of God looking you straight in your eye and asking you, will thou be made whole? And we gave God reasons. Do you identify yourself with this man? Know how many times sometimes when God, the Lord Jesus, faces us squarely with his word, he's asking you, will thou be made whole? Do you want to become better as a Christian? Do you want to understand my will better? Do you want to change things in your life? You know what we do? We give reasons why we cannot. We give reasons why, God, you don't understand, I'm always having this whatever. Hello? The Son of God is there. If the Son of God cannot change you, then change your God. I'm not going to change my God because he has changed so much for me. You know, the challenge is to get our eyes off ourselves and of our situations. Actually, the real point is to get rid of your excuses. But I wanted to look at it more positively. Give thanks for the resources. So number one, you have the Son of God on your side. I and God are majority. Amen? There is nothing you cannot overcome with Jesus' help. And that's something for us as Christians. We need to seek God for who he is. A loving, merciful, holy God. All-powerful God. You know, the Lord Jesus was standing there. Do you want to be made whole, sir? It is obvious this man did not recognize Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you have that problem? Do you recognize who Jesus is? Tell me some of the characteristics, traits of your Savior. Tell me. Gideon. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? He can do anything. Really? Can God do anything? There's one thing he cannot do. He cannot sin. Okay, so please be careful. I need to find prophet. Cannot sin. He cannot sin, he will not sin, he will not even think about sin. Alright? And he will not do anything that's outside of his character. But God is omnipotent. He can do anything he wills for the good of your life. What else about Christ? Well, what another character of God? He is? Come on. I'm sure you know God, right? Come on. Hello. Now give me two more characteristics of God. He's long-suffering. Okay, God is definitely long-suffering. His long-suffering is to all generations. Okay, how God sometimes, you know, sometimes in my own life, how God puts up with me is amazing. There was one man who said, God must be God to stay in business with us. God must be God to stay in business with us. God is loving, he's merciful, he's all-powerful, he's Alpha, he's Omega. He knows what's the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything. And yet, we give reasons why we cannot live for God. This man says, God, there's no one else to help me. Christian, when there's no one else to help me, you need to realize the Son of God is with you. I'm with you always. I had this, some of you may have received my devotion. A man woke up in his sleep. That man was me. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I woke up and really said, God, where are you? And immediately the verse came to my mind. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. To me, that was such a strong encouragement that when I feel God is not with me, God's word is always 100% there. Amen? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise of God. And the Bible says, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in God, which cannot lie. If God says I'm with you, he says I'm with you. All right? You know why this man was in this weak state and condition? Because the man has learned to accept that he cannot be helped. We talked about it just now. We need to be like blind Bartimaeus. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Okay, this man was helpless. And when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole?" He said, "No one to help me." We need to be like blind Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging." And of course, blind Bartimaeus, you know the story. He was begging, and then there was a commotion. Jesus walked past blind Bartimaeus, said, "Who is he that walketh out?" Jesus, the son of God, he's walking past, and blind, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." "Oh, shut up. He has no time for you." Blind Bartimaeus called Jesus the son of David. What does that tell you? The promise, the Davidic covenant was given to the Jews. And he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Whenever you call out to God, God always hears. Jesus stopped everyone. "Bring him to me." You know, sometimes all it needs for us is just to call out to God. But sometimes in our pride, we will not call out to God. But God wants us to, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, then say, "Shh, he calls you. Shush." Brought him, put him there. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said the same thing to the man at the pool. "What do you want me to do for you?" You know why Jesus asked the question? He wanted to be sure you wanted to. There are some Christians who do not want to move out of their comfort zone. That's why they are not calling out to God. They are not wanting to do right. They are not wanting to take the steps of faith. But you know what? If you are confronted with the Son of God, he said, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be a Christian that lives for God?" And blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Mark chapter 10, verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What would thou that I should do unto thee?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Seems pretty confident. "God, I don't want anything else. I want my sight back." And Jesus says, "Be unto you according to your faith." We'll see blind Bartimaeus in heaven, amen? And he'll be seeing. We need to be like blind Bartimaeus. Then in our need, we'll call out to God. Stop thinking about the consequences. Stop thinking about what your friends will say. You have the Son of God to help you out. And yet you don't want. Come on, Christians. Be like blind Bartimaeus. Do you realize in the context of John 5, you're in the house of mercy? Bethesda is a house of mercy. This man was at the house of God's mercy. And the angel came and stirred the water, right? Representative of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you to convict you, to stir you up. And you realize, also in the book of John chapter 5, I believe it's in verse number 5, that when the angel came and the first one to go into the pool will be healed. You know what that is? That's a promise. If you're the first one in, it shows your earnestness, it shows your desire. God says, you'll be healed. You have the promises of God. All the promises of God in him, yea, and in him, amen. Anything. Say, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory." Philippians 4:19. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The promises of God are here. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Jeremiah 31, verse 3. "When you go through the fire, you will not be burnt." Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. God is all here. And yet, you know what? When Jesus comes, would thou be made whole? You know, we say, we give our reasons. By the way, our reasons is not admitted to the court of heaven. You know what? Jesus dismissed his reason. Later on, we'll talk about it. But I want to challenge us. You are in a place that God wants to help. In Luke chapter 5, verse 5, we need to be like Simon. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." I talk about it in Sunday school. Peter and the people were having a hard time getting fishing. They went fishing, they couldn't catch anything. You know what Jesus did in the daytime? By the way, you don't fish in the daytime if you want a big catch. You need to fish in the nighttime. Why? Apparently, fishes are attracted to light. You put a net there. In the morning, you have a big catch. But after the whole night, they did not catch any fish. And Jesus told Peter, go and cast your net again. Peter said, Lord, in Singaporean terms, tio bo, tui ma, is it, Lord? Are you sure? We just toiled the whole night, we caught nothing, you know. And just for your information, Lord, I'm a fisherman professionally. You are a carpenter. I'm not going to take advice from a carpenter. But you know what, Peter? Peter had enough sense that there was a Son of God. Look at what he said, verse 5. Nevertheless, at thy word, he recognized who Jesus was. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Point number two, in John chapter 5, verse 8. After Jesus said, would thou be made whole, and men give their reasons. Verse 8 and 9, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Point number two, number one, thank God for your resources. Number two, for those Christians who have been far away from God, point number two, put on faith again. Put on faith again. This man has been, his muscle have wasted for 38 years. Have you seen people who have not walked for 38 years? As a therapist, I've seen that. People who are paralyzed and all that. You know how difficult it is to walk with paralyzed legs? What happens is, if you don't use your joints and your muscles for a few days, maybe 1 week, okay? What happens is, okay, I'll give you a good example. Those people who are astronauts, they go out of this, literally out of this world, okay? And then they may be out there for a few months, then they come back. Do you realize because of the weightlessness in outer space, their muscles and their joints all lose their capability? The muscles get weak. Because of weightlessness, there is no stress for the joints. What happens is the brain stops receiving signals from your joints, your ligaments and everything, and it actually loses muscle. If this man hasn't walked for 38 years, he doesn't have much muscle left. When in your situations, a lot of us, when told what to do, you know, we will always give reasons why we cannot. Agree? Because we are so used to the old ways. You know what Jesus says? Take up your bed, rise, take out your bed and walk. You need to put on faith again. We cannot say, Lord, are you sure? I haven't walked for 38 years. My leg is not going to have the muscles to walk. But you know, the Bible says very clearly, verse 8, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The Lord Jesus did not explain the whole mechanics of walking to this man. You just have to obey God and walk. And the Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The man had not walked for 38 years. But at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, you are here in your condition because God had grace on you, that you can hear what he says. We need to learn to put on faith once again, to believe God for who he is again. For some of you children, it's very hard to obey your parents, but God says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you find it hard, you know what you need to do? God, I'm finding it hard to obey my mom and dad. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. You know what? That's an obedience of faith. If you're not saved today, Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants your sins to be washed away. He wants your old life to be put away. But you know what? He says, repent and believe the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel. True for you, praying alone does not get the job done when we're supposed to do something. I say again, many people use prayer as an excuse not to obey God. Wow, can you say that, Rajani? How many of you, your life has changed? Some of you through prayer, yes. But you know, there are certain things that you need to do too, to grow as a Christian. You cannot be a very good basketball player by watching video games and dream of becoming like Michael Jordan. Well, now was our latest, Kobe Bryant, is it? I don't know. Who? The Chicago Bulls, I don't know. Who's the famous player now? Curry. What? Curry? Okay, you guys follow NBA. You cannot dream of being a good NBA basketball player.
You've got to hit the hoops. Amen? You've got to throw your three-pointers. You've got to train. You've got to run. You've got to run up the stairs and up and down like a thousand times. You've got to have muscles bigger than my head, you know. You've got to be tall. You've got to work out. Many Christians dream of spiritual life and growth without doing anything. Faith always involves action, because belief in the Bible is always an action word. You need to put, when you say you have faith, it means that we'll see something happening in your life. You'll be doing something. Praying alone does not get the job done when we're supposed to do something. In many situations of hopelessness, there's always hope. Because we think there is no hope, but in Christ there's always hope. The Bible says, Psalm 42 verse 5, let me just read, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" The psalmist was talking to himself, why are you so down? Why is there so much conflict inside your heart? You know what is a counsel? Hope thou in God. Put your hopes in God. "For I will yet praise thee." Verse 11, 42. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance." It is God that will help you. But you know what? You need to take a step of faith. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 21 to 24. It's over there. You know, this man had a child who had been possessed of the devil for many months. In fact, many years. Because when Jesus said, "How long has this child been possessed?" He said, "Of a child." And then in Mark chapter 9, I really love how Jesus dealt with this man. He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft time he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, if you can help me, Lord, if you can help me, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus saith unto him, "If you can believe." You know what Jesus said? Okay? The man threw the basketball at Jesus. "If you can do something, please help us." Jesus took the basketball and threw it back to him. "If you believe, all things are possible." There is no problem with God to help. Amen? It is always whether or not we have the faith to believe he can and act consistent with that. You know why some of you are still not baptized? Because you're still living in your flesh and thinking the way you want to think. And God says, "Believe and be baptized, every one of you." That's obedience. You know, this man, thankfully for one thing, after Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believe," and straightway the father of the Christ, "Oh, Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Can I say this? When we choose not to act on the word of God, it is always unbelief. Just according to the Bible. You can reason why and all the reasons. You know, we need to stop giving excuses about the situations or the person that did this to me and all that. It's about faith. I want us to notice one thing. Jesus didn't deal with the house of mercy. He didn't deal with the stirring. He dealt with the man. He dealt with the faith in that man. He dealt with this man who has been there for 38 years, and this man didn't have faith. And he said, "You've got to take faith. Take up your bed and walk." Notice, when we say we have faith, Jesus didn't address the faith issue. Or wrong. Jesus addressed the faith issue by doing what? Obedience. I say again, Jesus addressed the man's faith issue by obedience. Take up your bed and walk. If you believe I can heal you, up. And he did. Thank God. You can get out of your situations if you start believing God's word and doing it. And stop giving excuses and reasons why you can't. Put on faith again. Put on faith again. Trust God. The reason why we are still in a condition we are not, we are in, is because it's not because of the pain. It's always because we cannot overcome. It's because of unbelief. We need to stay up by faith. Faith is demonstrated by obedience. I'll just give you a quick rundown on healing. You know, I've thought long and hard about, you know, these people, I need to be healed. Give me time to heal. I realized one thing. You know how you get healed? Some of you may have pain in your heart. You know how you get healed? When you go to the doctor, you got pain. All right, maybe in your ankles, maybe in whatever situation. And the doctor diagnosed that, oh, it's a pain of this and you've got to do this. And then you go away from the doctor and say, doctor, I just need time to be healed. The doctor just explained to you, you need to do this and this and this, then you can get better. No, doctor, you don't understand. Time will heal everything. Doctor say, hello. You're having a very severe thing. You need to do this, you need to come for operation, you need to do this and this and this and this. No, doctor, you don't understand my situation. I just need time for the healing. There was one man I was talking about. There was really one man. Me and my wife were talking to one of the insurance agents. She was sharing with us. There was one man many years ago who had a severe headache. And he had a severe headache, and then, you know, the pain was quite bearable, and suddenly it starts to intensify. It got worse and worse. 8 Panadols a day cannot cure it. 8 Panadols, that's really maximum already. All right? But still the pain keep coming. He's married. I think he has children. I can't remember all the details. And she was an insurance agent. He said, hey, boss, I think you better go and see a doctor. You know? No, never mind. Just take painkiller. Doctor gave him one step higher painkiller. Still didn't work. Well, then he said, well, something is wrong. And you better go and see a doctor. But he said, don't want. Nah, it's okay. Well, nah, time will... Don't worry. I just keep on. You know, I don't have to worry about that. And it came to pass that he actually came to the point it was such splitting, he was getting blurred vision in his driving, he had to stop. And the wife said, look, you've got to go in already. When he went in, the doctor saw in the brain, in the scan, that there were these blood vessels and this golf ball so big that's waiting to burst in the brain. Straight away, and they called the neuro doctor. By the way, it's Chinese New Year. And this guy, very pantang man. I don't want to go to hospital. I said, you better stay, you cannot leave, because you can die. He had no choice. You know, many Christians reach the point of no choice before they call the doctor. Why? It's because we feel that we can handle it. Because time. You know how you get healed? From the pain that's in your heart, whatever situation happens in your life, by obedience to God's word. By His stripes, we are healed. That talks about, that's not about physical healing. Some churches teach physical healing. Sorry, the time of physical healing is over. There are 3 periods of healing in the Bible. Moses' time, or rather, 3 periods of miracles in the Bible. Moses' time, Elijah's time, and Jesus' time, and the apostles' time. After that, no more. I'm not saying God cannot heal in response to prayer. He does. He still does. But God is not a spiritual genie that we can call out of heaven. Every time we have a meeting, God has to be there. No, God has His will. Paul, a very strong Christian and a faith healer, wasn't healed of his eyesight. Okay? But you know, personally, if there's something in your heart, the way to get healed is to listen to the doctor's advice. Amen? My father-in-law was quite stubborn. He didn't want to go through chemotherapy, radiotherapy for his prostate cancer because he believed that doctors only want money, which is true to a certain extent, but I don't think it's always true because some doctors are really wanting to help. But I was there, I said, Dad, I think just listen to the doctor. You know what? After 35 sessions of radiotherapy, 10 minutes each, he got travel from 10 minutes, all that, his prostate cancer was over. What if he didn't listen? He would have 2 years, according to the doctor. But because he listened, he is still alive today. And that was 10 years ago? Because he listened. You want healing in your life? Start obeying God. Families, you want to be healed, start obeying God. I'm telling you as a pastor, as someone who cares for your soul, if you want healing for your family, you want healing for your relationship, start getting back to what God says and not what you think or what I think. Pastors amount to nothing if I don't follow what God says. And I can't tell you that God can help you. I believe God can. You know what? Some of you may just have bitterness in your heart. You just have to forgive your friends, whoever that's hurt you. Some of you children will just have to obey your parents and your family will be healed. This is as easy as that. Brother Johnny, is that true? The moment you go to the sensei, you press, pain here and there, you know, it's hard to... Initially, when you obey, when the sensei starts twisting your muscles, now that you will feel the pain, but after that you get relief. And you don't believe me, how many of you are very tired in your shoulders? I can show you straight away. Anyone got tired shoulders now? Anyone? You have tired shoulders? No. Maybe after the... Do you have anyone? I can demonstrate instantly. I'll give you healing straight away. Because I'm a therapist, I know what it means to cause pain. I had one friend, he's a soldier. I mean, we were doing our ATAC. So, I said, well, Johnny, very pain. Then after that, because the therapist, I learned, I pressed, okay, ready? But it was when I pressed, I'm very pain. That's Jacob, he likes that. But after that, he said, oh, very good. The initial obedience may cause pain. You know why? In spiritual terms, it means we've got to surrender our pride, we've got to surrender our selfishness, we've got to surrender all the things we are using to block God and say, God, I'm surrendering to you. Put on that faith, trust Him. And it might be painful initially, but you know what? The release will come. Put on faith. But there's one more thing. As we close the third truth, and I'll try to run through this. After the Lord has asked him to take up his bed, to walk, point number three is to deal with sin. Point number three is to deal with sin. Johnny, wow, where did that come from? Look at John chapter 5, verse 9. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. But then in verse 14, interestingly, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now the Bible never said what was his sin, but it was obvious he was in the 38 years of sickness because of sin. Agree? This was what Jesus told him. You'll be made whole. Don't go back again to the old ways. Lest a what? Worst thing come upon you. Can I say this? If you have sinned before, how many of you have never sinned before? Pull up your hand. God calls us liars. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. But we have sinned. And sometimes we get trapped by that sin. But when we put on faith and obey God and confess that, you know what God will tell us? Go and sin no more. That's God's will. But Brother Johnny, I cannot identify a specific sin. I can. You know what the sin is? The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Many Christians are not serving God today simply because they do not, they are depending more on their own thinking and their own revelation, our own thinking, rather than trusting the faith, trusting in what God says to do. You are not going to advance in your career if you will not listen to your boss. If you will not do what the boss tells you to do, yes? You have to fulfill the deadlines, you have to. Why? That's part of your growth. Why is it that in the Christian life we want growth, but we're not willing to pay the price? Can I say this? Salvation is free in Christ. Discipleship, when you walk with Christ, require us. It will cost us. You want to be... How many of you dream, okay? I don't know whether Ben Roy... Have you dreamed of being a ranger? No, okay, never mind. Next. There are some people... Well, in my family, some people dream of being rangers. And in the Philippines, we actually saw the Philippine rangers. Wow, the time of training they have is tough. It's really tough. But you know what? Every one of them interview, you say, I want to be a ranger. I want to wear the coveted hat. You know, after training for, I don't know how long, about 9 months? 10 months or so? Do you know what's the final project? You know what's the final project? Go fight the terrorists. If you survive, you get the beret. If you don't, they will still give you the beret, but they have an empty chair with your name tag there because you died. They'll still give you the beret. Christian, if you want to grow in Christ, you need to continue in this word. You need to continue in this one. Put on that faith. Deal with sin. You know, some of us, it's just a sin of disobedience. Sin of not doing what God tells us to do. I know I've been tough, but you know, I do not believe my calling is to make it easy for Christians who don't want to grow. I'm here to challenge you as a Christian. Some of you really need healing in your families, in your relationships. The only way to get that, if you please get back to the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to Him. Study the Word. Brother Johnny, I really find it very hard. No one says it's going to be easy. This man hasn't walked for 38 years. All he did was, Lord, I just trust you. When you trust God, listen to this, He will always come true for you. When you trust God obediently, not trying to give reasons or all that, Lord, I'll just follow. I will just follow what your word says. You know what it means? Fathers, we need to start getting God's word into our life and obeying Him. Get rid of everything in your life, every excuse, every reason why you cannot serve God, why you cannot, you just get back to obeying God. Brother Johnny, is that the way? You can buy me coffee, I can buy you coffee, we sit down and talk about it, I can give you a plan based on God's word to get you back on track. Brother Johnny, is it just following? Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Not following Pastor Johnny, not following Ambassador, follow Christ. Follow what He says. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross daily and follow me. Some of us still want to keep to our old ways. God says, it's not going to happen. You know, why are we staying in our problems when Jesus is offering a solution? You know, that always baffles me as a pastor. Why are you, some of you have never won a soul to Christ for many years. Why? Jesus called us to be soul winners. Why is there still struggles in your family? Every family has struggles. But where is Christ in that family? If Jesus is truly the head of the family, His Bible will be read, prayers will be made, life changes will happen. Agree? That's what happened in the Bible. As we close, we need to deal with our sin of unbelief. Is God speaking to our hearts today? I don't know whether you identify with this man, but I'm praying for some of you, the situations you're in is not caused by yourself, but by the situations. God, if you want to use the situations to change me, so be it. Joan of Arc, I don't know whether she's a Christian or whatever. I know, not Joan of Arc, I think it was another Christian. I think it was another lady who was a Christian. He says, Lord, make me who you want me to be and send me the bill. Make me into what you want me to be and then send me the bill. In other words, Lord, I'm willing to do anything to become like you. Let's close in the word of prayer. Let's pray, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit to still challenge our hearts. Lord, help us to turn our eyes on Christ as we sing the closing hymn later. But Lord, for all of us, I'm not too sure what the people are going through. Some of them I know. But Heavenly Father, help us not to be like this man who's been sick for 38 years, totally useless, ineffective. And yet, Lord, he doesn't even know who you are. Yet for us as Christians, we know who you are. And yet we're not applying to you. I know, Lord, that in our church, in some of the visitors' lives, I don't know what is happening in their lives, but you do, Lord. And I pray that this message would have touched their lives in some way. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Let me just ask, is there someone who said, Pastor, I can identify with this man. I've got something for 38 years. The time may not be 38, it could be today, yesterday. There might be some burdens in your heart you just cannot get off. Or maybe you have come to a place in your Christian life that you are not bothered, that you are not bothered about your spiritual life anymore. You're indifferent because you have come to a status quo. But you're saying, Lord, I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be on fire for you once again. Or some of you may have situations in your family. God, I don't want to remain in this situation. You need to thank God for the resources you have. You need to put on faith once again in obedience to God. You need to deal with whatever sins you need to deal with. There's someone who says, Pastor, pray for me that I will have the courage and the faith to do what God tells me to do. There's someone like that. Put up a right hand, I'll pray for you. And then God will give you the courage and the strength to do what is right so that you can come whole again. Is there someone like that? Put up a right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there someone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe their hearts are sincere before you. Maybe it's a pain in their hearts that cannot be overcome right now. But Lord, I pray that even as you just kind of push the reason of this man away and told him to take up the bed and walk. I pray, restore faith, Lord, in our brothers and sisters. Restore faith once again by obedience to what you need to do, what they need to do. Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. We know that. But Lord, sometimes it's so hard for us because we're so limited by ourselves. But Lord, we no longer want to be bound by our limitations. We just want to trust in what you can do in our lives. And we're willing, Lord, to surrender our will to you. So Lord, once again, I pray for these four brethren who have put up their hands and sisters too. That Lord, you help them to overcome by the grace of God. And Lord, for the rest of us who may be struggling, I don't know, but you do. I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, will continue to shine into those areas of our lives that we are weak for many years. That God will surrender to you once again. Teach us, Lord. Not to be satisfied with the status quo, but teach us to turn our eyes on Christ, that everything will change as you take control. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.